Hare Krishna. Good morning to everyone who are listening in. If you've been able to come and join us here in the temple room this morning, we are pleased with your presence. And if you're joining us online, by telephone or radio, we're also pleased with that. So thank you for being with us. We're going to be giving a short discourse this morning on the Srimad Bhagavatam. So if you've got your copy handy, please turn to the 11th canto. And we'll be in reading still in chapter 29. I believe it's correct. Actually, 28, chapter 28. So 11th canto, chapter 28, and texts 6 and 7. I think it's correct. Before we begin, let us offer our respects and beg for the presence of the Supreme Lord for our class today, that we might say something that is of some value to you today. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Gaura Premananda, Hari Hari Bo. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivijaka Charja Hasto Tarasata Shri Shri Madhis Divine Grace. Abhaya Chananara Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivijaka Charja Hasto Tarasata Shri Shri Madhis His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki, Iskan BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki, Iskan Guru Parampara Ki, Sri Rupsi Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva Gopal Bhatta Das Raghunath, Sat Goswami Prabhu Ki, Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki, Premsikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Sri Advaita Galadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivrindaki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakun Radhakun Girigovardhana Ki Sri Vrindavanam Ki Sri Mathuradam Ki Sri Mayapurnavadvipdam Ki Sri Jagannath Puridam Ki Sri Sri Radha Kavachandidam Ki Ganga Devi ki, Jamuna Mai ki, Tulsi Devi ki, Bhakti Devi Ki, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki, Brihat Badanga, Transcendental Book of Prasaram Distribution Ki, Natai Gaura Premananda, Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Shambhati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gaurabali Pacharine Nivashesha Shinivari Pashtatare Shitarine. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Yasan Tato Jayam Madhira Yat Nasta Paraiswa Bandreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatyutamashloke Bhakti Bhavadinaishtiki. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Text number 6 is written on the board, so we'll chant that word for word. As a matter of fact, I think we'll just read the verse in its entirety, and then we'll go to the transliteration. Admaiva tad idam vishvam shrijate shrijati prabho trayate trati vishvatma Riyate Haratishvara Atmayeva Tadidam Vishvam Shrijate Shrijati Prabhu Trayate Trati Vishvatma Riyate Haratishvara. All right. Very good. Thank you, Tavi. We'll also read text number 7, which is included in today's translation and purport. Tasmanna yatmano nyasmad anyo bhavo nirupita nirupite yam trividha nirmula bhaktir atmanai idam guna mayam vidhi Trividham Mayaya Kritam. Translations word by word. Atma, the Supreme Soul. Eva, alone. Tat Idam, this. Vishvam, universe. Srijate, is created. Srijati, and creates. Prabhu, the Supreme Lord. Trayate, is protected. Trati, protects. Vishva Atma, the soul of all that be. Riyate, is withdrawn. Harati, withdraws. Ishvara, the Supreme Controller. Tasmat, then him. Na, no. He, indeed. Atmana, other, let's see, then Atmana, then the soul. As Anyasmat, who is distinct. Anya, other. Bhava, entity. Nirupita, is ascertained. Nirupite, thus established. I am this, trividha, threefold, nirmula, without basis, bhakti, appearance, atmani, within the supersoul, idam, this, gunamayam, consisting of the modes of nature, vidhi, you should know. Trivitam, threefold. Mayaya, by the illusory energy. Kritam, created. Translation to both texts 6 and 7. The translation to purport given by the disciples of His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Supersoul alone is the ultimate controller and creator of this world, and thus He alone is also the created. It sounds strange, doesn't it? He also is created. Similarly, the soul of all existence Himself both maintains and is maintained, withdraws and is withdrawn. No other entity can be properly ascertained as separate from Him, the Supreme Soul, who nonetheless is distinct from everything and everyone else. The appearance of the threefold material nature, which is perceived within Him, has no actual basis. Rather, you should understand that this material nature, composed of the three modes, is simply the product of His illusory potency. And this is a purport. Now, this verse can, it sounds a little bit strange to one who is unfamiliar with the Bhagavad Gita. So we rely heavily on the purport to help us to understand what the Lord is saying here to Sri Uddhava. So these are, this is the purport given by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The absolute truth, Lord Krishna, expands His external potency and thus creates the material cosmos. As with the sun globe and its expanded rays, the Lord and His expanded potency are simultaneously one and different. Although to conditioned souls, material duality seems to be based on the modes of nature, the entire material manifestation is actually non-different from the Lord and is of one ultimately spiritual nature. Notice that the entire material manifestation is actually non-different from the Lord and is of one ultimately spiritual nature. So the disciples here are saying that the material nature is ultimately spiritual. We'll talk about that more when we start speaking. The modes of nature create sense objects, demigods, human beings, animals, friends, enemies, and so forth. But in reality, everything is simply an expansion of the potency of the Supreme Lord. Foolishly, the conditioned soul tries to lord it over the material nature. But the Lord Himself, being non-different from that nature, is its only true proprietor. In several places, the Srimad Bhagavatam has given the example of the spider spinning its web by expanding thread from its own mouth. Similarly, through His own potency, the Lord manifests the material world, maintains it, and eventually withdraws it within Himself. Although the Lord is the unique supreme personality of Godhead above everyone and everything, He is simultaneously and inconceivably non-different from everything. Therefore, it is the Lord Himself who is manifested when the Lord creates, and it is the Lord Himself who is maintained when the Lord maintains, and it is the Lord Himself who is withdrawn at the time of annihilation. So we're talking about the material nature of the Supreme Lord, but this also applies in a way to the spiritual nature, because everything coming from the Supreme Lord is spiritual. So therefore, even the material nature is coming from the spiritual energy of the Lord. And we're going to clarify that perhaps a little bit better later. One last paragraph. Although the Lord is non-different from both His spiritual abode and His material creation, Still, the spiritual abode, Vaikuntha, is always superior to the material manifestation. Both matter and spirit are energies of the Lord, yet the spiritual energy is molded into the eternal forms of bliss and knowledge, whereas the temporary forms of matter are symbols of ignorance and frustration for the conditioned souls who covet them. Covet means what? To desire. Covet, to covet means to desire with some selfish motivation. The Supreme Lord is himself the reservoir of all pleasure and is thus dear to his devotees. The presumption that the Lord cannot give us complete pleasure is due to our misidentifying him as a product of the material modes of nature. As a result, we pursue false happiness in the deadly embrace of Maya and thus deviate from our eternal loving relationship with Lord Krishna. That's the end of quite a long purport and quite a long verse. Om Gyana Timilandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Savitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupahakada Maya Dharati Swabhadantikam Vande Hum Shri Guru Shri Yutta Parikamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunath Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Savadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sundo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radhakanta Namostute Taptakan Chanagurangi Radhe Brindamaneshuri Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So a little bit of a difficult text to deal with today. And I struggled a little bit with it myself in preparing for our talk today. I made the decision that we would talk about then recognizing the material as transformed spiritual. Recognizing the material world that is transformed spiritual energy. So we're seeing the Lord's material energy as being non-different from the Lord, according to the verse and according to the purport. And we understand then that the reason that this is non-different from the Lord is that the material energy is actually a transformation of the spiritual energy. And it has been transformed in order to create this world that we live in, that is full of short-termed lives of things and people. And it's also, it also contains all the ingredients for us to try to enjoy when we, the living entity, come into this world that we're in. So we have to get to the point of being able then to see that through something other than our senses. And if we can see through our senses that the spiritual has actually been transformed into material. In other words, we don't have the facility right now. We don't have the capability to be able to see the actual Lord himself except in his deity form. And there was a little discussion on the internet, on YouTube, of about someone was saying that the Lord is everywhere. And so, therefore, there's no need then to come to the temple to see the Lord, because he is everywhere. And, of course, I had to chime in, and I said that the Lord may be everywhere, but I can sense his presence a lot more in reality when I come into the temple room and I see the gorgeously decorated forms of the Lord, the deity forms of the Lord, which were originally constructed from his material energy in the form of brass, marble, granite, and even we have some paintings on the altar of the spiritual masters. We have photographs of some, paintings of others, and we also have a painting of Sri Panchatattva, Lord Chaitanya and his associates. So this is an example of how the material energy can be transformed into the spiritual energy of the Lord. Whenever the deities are first brought to the temple, then a prayer is offered to the Lord. Now, please come into this form that is made of your material energy, and accept our worship and accept the offerings that we give you. And so that's the reason that we have then the deities in the temple room, even though they're originally made of material stuff. Still, that material stuff is coming from the Lord's spiritual energy, and the Lord himself agrees upon the request of his devotee to come into that form and to accept our worship of him. But we know that the material energy, if we attempt to enjoy it, is, in other words, instead of using it for something that is meant for the pleasure of the Lord, if we use it for our own personal sense gratification, then we're always experiencing something besides happiness. For example, when we purchase a new car or a new house, if we've ever, some of you have been able to do that, you know that after a short time, maybe a month or 2 months or 3 months, maybe 6 months, of living in that house, or driving that car almost every day, particularly driving it to work in all the traffic, that doesn't give us a great extended happiness, does it? It is not that much pleasurable to try to enjoy these things that are provided by the Lord, and yet a house and a car are considered to be highly desirable, especially when we want to be out of the elements. Here in Texas, it gets really hot in the summertime. And so it's very nice to have a decent house, one that can be easily kept clean, and have some refrigerated air coming into that place, so that we can walk, when we walk in the front door, we suddenly breathe, take a very deep breath of that cold air that's coming from our cooling system. And to us, it seems very pleasurable. But if we simply do no more than that with our automobile or with our car, then simply use it to increase our material possessions, then we're always going to find ourselves being frustrated. And there's a reason for that frustration. Krishna doesn't want us to become too comfortable in this material world, so that we choose to stay here for another lifetime. First of all, he knows that we're going to be suffering because of the actions that we've performed in the past that have brought us this negative energy called negative karma. But even the things that are pleasant are not necessarily to be enjoyed that much, because they themselves are in a constant flux of change. And Krishna states that this material energy of mind is endlessly mutable, means it's endlessly changing forms. So even though they may take petroleum, which comes out of the earth, put it through some chemical processes, and change it into whatever practically that we could desire. A lot of plastic products are coming to us that way. A lot of the parts on our automobiles are coming to us that way. And in our houses, same thing. And so we have had the experience of possessing these things, and we've also had coming with it the concomitant frustrations or distress that we feel after we've had something for a while. So then we realize that the Lord has converted the material, or actually he's empowered us to convert the material things, the material energy of his, into the spiritual. And one way we do that is recognizing the material energy as spiritual. Even though we look around us and we see things that are very common to our vision, houses, cars, trees, clouds, all of these things that we can perceive with our five senses are the material energy of the Lord. But we should remember that it is coming from the Lord himself, just like his spiritual energy comes from himself. And so therefore, we should not think ourselves as the possessors of that material energy, because if we do, then we start having problems. So we gradually begin perceiving that the material energy is to be used in the service of the Lord. So instead of just decorating our house with the beautiful flowers that often come in the springtime, we can bring those very same flowers that were giving us that material pleasure, and we can offer them to the Lord as we do every day. Beautiful flowers are offered, beautiful foodstuffs that we would normally just consume ourselves, and then think, oh, how pleasant, how nice this is. Until we start realizing, as I have the past couple of days when we've had feasts, that maybe I've taken a little more than I should have. And so then in that case, the material energy is showing us once again that we have to be very careful how it's used. Even though the foodstuffs that have been offered to the Lord are very wonderful, they're material stuff, yet when the Lord accepts them himself, then by glancing over the foodstuffs, he actually eats the food, but what he really wants is the devotion from the person who has offered the food. So we reject desires for things that have connection, that have no connection with service. In other words, if we go out shopping, we should always be thinking, how is this object that I'm wanting to buy going to be used in my service to the Supreme Lord? And sometimes we forget about that. So we reject desires then for things that have no connections to the Supreme Lord. And then after a while, we begin to observe the change in ourselves. And then we become encouraged with that. So this is like a benediction of the Lord as well, that we have the ability to look at ourselves, analyze ourselves, and see how we have changed since we came into the company of the devotees. And that's a good thing. Then we gain a spiritual vision of material objects after we have made a little advancement. In other words, we start shopping for items that are to be offered in service to the Lord. And we refuse anything, for any of these things that we would normally purchase, to be enjoyed by ourselves. This is for a person who has some training in Krishna consciousness and someone who has actually experienced Krishna consciousness. So whenever we find ourselves giving up the desire for using things for ourselves instead of for the Supreme Lord, then we have been taught then to analyze that and to correct that situation within ourselves. Because until we do begin realizing that all of this material stuff around us is coming from the Supreme Lord's spiritual energy. Until we realize that, then we're simply looking at other things as objects of our own personal enjoyment. So then we take a little inventory of our possessions occasionally. Those obviously have been around for a while because we have the desire to live a very simple lifestyle. And if we crowd our house and crowd our spaces with possessions that have to be taken care of, maintained, and have to be replaced occasionally, then that rather takes away from the enjoyment of those objects. And that's exactly the way it is supposed to be. Because Krishna does not want us to become too content to stay here in this material world. So we look at what we possess and think, what can I get rid of that I really don't need? Because all this stuff is taking up all my space and it's just simply dragging me down. So we like to eliminate those objects that have no utility in one's service. Well, how can we do that? Well, there are quite a few ways. The devotees in this community talk among themselves, and they try to help each other come up with some changes in their own lifestyle that helps to make them more Krishna conscious. So then we become relieved when we get rid of these material objects, because it's no longer, they're no longer attracting our minds to some kind of pleasure that we could have. And we instead, we opt to get those things that are, that can easily be used. In other words, there's some things that are, can be used very easily in Krishna's service, such as naturally grown foodstuffs. You know, instead of buying things in a can and opening the can, putting them on a plate and putting it on the altar. Now, this might be okay when you do it at home, but our standard is quite a bit higher here in the temple room than it is in most of our homes. Even if you have deities in your home, you might not be able to worship them quite as often as the deities are worshipped here in the temple. So that's the reason then some of us have chosen not to have a set of deities in our homes who require to be served and who require to be fed, but rather we choose rather to bring whatever it is we want to offer to the Supreme Lord, bring it here and give it to the Bajaris, and then whoever's doing the cooking for the day can use those objects as something that is very pleasing to offer the Supreme Lord. So in order to become relieved of this material longing for things and then being frustrated by them time and again, we simply set out to simplify our lifestyles. In doing so, once we eliminate a lot of the possessions that we have, then we minimize the requirement to maintain them. And therefore, we have more time to devote to devotional service. If we're simply engaged in maintaining things our whole lifetime, then we're going to spend a lot of time doing that. And none of that is going to necessarily help us to improve our spiritual lives. Of course, if we've been given the facility for a nice house, a nice automobile, we want to maintain those things because we use them to earn our livelihoods. We use them to come and worship the Lord. And those are good purposes for using this material energy around us. But other than that, we want to simply minimize what we're using and what we're keeping on hand to use, some of which might get used once or twice, and then it goes on the shelf and it sits for years, and you don't even think to look at it. So ultimately, we want to get to the point of freedom from attachment to objects. That's the real desire thing. Because it becomes very difficult then to remember the Lord if all that you can think about is either the pleasure you're getting from that new automobile or the frustration and distress that you feel when that automobile lets you down and you have to take it to the shop, get it repaired. Still, we will take the time to do as much maintenance as we can without having to occupy our entire lifetime just simply fixing something, making and helping it to continue to work, just so we have some pleasure. So this is these are some of the thoughts that I had about the text, and I would like to read the text once more so that everybody can look at, maybe look at the text in a little bit different light than you did when you came in. The super soul alone is the ultimate controller and creator of this world, and thus he alone is also created. We didn't talk about this too much, but if the Lord is creating this world, then he's using his own material elements to do the creation. So in that way, the Lord's energy becomes the creation. In other words, it becomes part of the objects of creation. So similarly, the soul of all existence himself both maintains and is maintained. He withdraws and is withdrawn. In other words, when Lord Vishnu withdraws all of the material universes back into his body, then that means that he is actually withdrawing his own material energy, or spiritual energy, you could say, back into his own body. So the Lord himself maintains, and what he maintains is his own energy. So that in a sense, then, is the Lord maintaining himself. No other entity can be properly ascertained as separate from him, the Supreme Soul, who nonetheless is distinct from everything and everyone else. The appearance of the threefold material nature, which is perceived within him, has no actual basis. Rather, you should understand that this material nature, composed of the three modes, is simply the product of his illusory potency. So we will stop here, ask if anybody has comments or questions. All right, then, we thank you, everyone, for being with us today, either in virtual reality or in real life. And we hope that somehow or other you have been able to learn something that you didn't know before, or maybe a little bit different facet of it. It was quite an interesting, but it was also a difficult text for us to do anything with. But the more we attempt to worship the Supreme Lord by hearing and by reading about him, the more attached we become to him, so that at the end of our lifetimes, we don't have to come back and do this whole material game again, but rather we can go back and enjoy an eternal life of freed from anxiety in Vaikuntha Loka, where the Lord eternally resides. So we'll end here, and we'll say Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Shishi Radhaya Kalachandi Ki Jai. We offer our humble obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, who are just like desire trees. They fulfill the desires of everyone, and they are full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. Vanchakalapatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha ananta koti vaishnavin ki jai. Hare Krishna.